Uhuru, you are listening to Solidarity Not Charity, the show of the African People's Solidarity Committee here on uhururadio.com, the online voice of the International African Revolution. We'd like to thank the African People's Socialist Party and Uhuru News for allowing us this time every Sunday at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time on Uhuru Radio. The African People's Solidarity Committee is an organization founded in 1976 by the African People's Socialist Party to organize white people and other allies of the African liberation struggle in genuine principled solidarity. And it is our responsibility to overturn our historical relationship with African and other oppressed people through reparations work and organizing towards African justice, liberation, and reparations, and genuine solidarity. So it's our honor on this show to put out the work of the Uhuru Solidarity Movement and how we are supporting the current campaigns led by the Uhuru Movement. My name is Harris Daniels. I'm a member of the African People's Solidarity Committee here in Philadelphia. And here in Philadelphia, we've had the opportunity to work in many campaigns for the democratic rights of the African community, including the right to protest and organize without attack by the state. And very recently, people may be aware of the struggle involving what is referred to as the City Hall 2. And this involves the international organizer of the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement, Diop Olugbala, who also leads the work for the Uhuru Movement here in Philadelphia. And you'll hear in this interview that we'll be playing that was pre-recorded where Allison Haney, the chair of the African People's Solidarity Committee here in Philadelphia, interviews Diop Olugbala about the work that the Uhuru Movement has been doing in Philly, around the country, and the current campaigns, and how we, as white people and allies of true justice and democracy for all people, can support the African liberation struggle here in Philadelphia. People want to listen by phone. If you have to be away from your computer, you can call in the U.S. 425-905-1825 or in the U.K. 020-3051-7985. So we'll get right into the interview. We'll take a break with the announcement of some events at the halfway mark. And this is an interview with Diop Olugbala, the international organizer for the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement on Solidarity Not Charity on uhururadio.com.
Uhuru, well, I would really want to welcome Diop Olugbala and really appreciate you having this interview with us today, Diop, to talk about the work that the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement, the very significant work that is happening right here in Philadelphia. And, you know, we're very honored that you can participate today and also to work under your leadership in Philly, because in the Uhuru Solidarity Movement and the African People's Solidarity Committee, you know, we work under the leadership of the African People's Socialist Party and the Uhuru Movement. And in Philadelphia, this has been an incredible history. And that's one of the things that we want to talk about some today, the impact that the party is having right here in Philadelphia, and how, as North Americans, we can participate in that transformation. So I wanted to just start by asking you if you could say something about the history of the party's work here, the history of the oppression of African people in Philly, and why it's so significant that the party and NPDOM have been waging a struggle for self-determination for the African community here for, you know, the period of time that you've been here.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to, you know, extend my appreciation to the African People's Solidarity Committee for allowing me the opportunity to be on the show. Really appreciate the work that you comrades do here in Philly and around the world, providing a clear example of the role that North Americans have to play in the struggle against this vicious social system of imperialism, parasitic capitalism, and you know, the conditions that African people face here in Philadelphia is probably one of the, you know, most glaring examples of what imperialism is responsible for in the lives of the masses of people, especially African people. And Philly being a city that, you know, literally is waging a war against the African community and has been doing so for as long as we have been here, held captive. And, you know, most recently, we know that African people in the city of Philadelphia have been resisting the oppression that we experience at the hands of the city of Philadelphia. You know, even before the party was on the ground here, and the resistance, of course, has always been a response to the oppression, where, you know, in during the period of the 1960s, as we know, there was a revolutionary movement, the Black Power movement of the 1960s, where the masses of African people, working and poor people, were mobilized in revolutionary organization under the leadership of such organizations as the Black Panther Party, which had a chapter right here in Philadelphia, who led the community in resistance against, you know, vicious policies being imposed on the African community here. I'm sure many of the listeners are familiar with the name of Frank Rizzo, who, you know, was a frothing at the mouth white nationalist, and also the mayor of Philadelphia, who would publicly, you know, legitimize or call for white people to, you know, assume the responsibility to, you know, contain the African community. And, of course, the police department of Philadelphia has always had a very oppressive terrorist type of relationship with the African community. And, of course, the economic conditions in the African community have always been that of exploitation. As we know, black labor built the city of Philadelphia's economy as it has the entire U.S. economy. And, you know, one of our members here in the Philadelphia branch, Sister Alberta Twyman, often, you know, tells us of how when she was growing up, her father would come home from work, you know, to receive, you know, less than half of what his white counterparts at the same city job that he worked would receive. And, you know, this has been the story of African people, you know, here in the city of Philadelphia and elsewhere, where we experienced this sharp exploitation and vicious repression at the hands of the state to keep us disorganized and separated from our resources. And most recently, we have, of course, this counterinsurgency that the city or the state has been waging against the community, this war being made against the black community, who committed no crime other than to struggle for our liberation and self-determination. And, you know, this war manifested itself in many ways. Some of the more well-known, you know, examples of the war included in September of 1969, right here, not far from where we at right now in West Philadelphia, where the police department raided the office of the Black Panther Party, paraded members of the party in their underwear in front of the community as a means of demoralizing the people, to, you know, show some type of example of, if you want to be a revolutionary, this is what's going to happen to you. This was under Rizzo's administration, you know, and, you know, this was just, you know, a milder example of some of the repression, the violence that African revolutionaries and just the masses of our people experienced just for trying to be free, you know. And even after this vicious war that was made against our movement during the 1960s, that war continued on. Not just against the movement, but on the entire community. As we know, in cities like Philadelphia, Oakland, New York, etc., a U.S. government-imposed drug economy it was imposed in the community, responsible not only for extraction of, you know, vast amounts of resources from our community, but also, you know, justifying this criminalization of our community, justifying increased police presence, and also, you know, imprisonment, mass imprisonment of African people. These are just some examples of the conditions. And we, you know, we'd be remiss if we didn't speak to the question of neocolonialism, white power, and blackface, which was another key component of this war that the city of Philadelphia has been making against African people, right, where in the face of the strong resistance from the African working class of this city, and that resistance exposed in every way possible white power, you know, forces like RZA were exposed as absolute enemies of the African community. The tactic or the strategy that imperialism put forth was neocolonialism. So while they remove RZA from office, the same parasitic relationship, the same repressive relationship that the city has always had with African people was lived on under a neocolonial administration in the likes of Wilson Good, who was an African who became mayor, but did nothing to challenge the same relationship that African people have always had with the social system, did nothing to speak to the question of all the wealth that's stolen from our community every day, and in fact, put forth an even more aggressive, more heavy-handed police, you know, repression against our community.
Right.
As we all know, in 1985, under Wilson Good's leadership, the city of Philadelphia dropped a C-4 bomb on an entire neighborhood of West Philadelphia. Although it was, you know, the justification was that it was dropped on the MOVE organization. It was an attack on the entire African community. And the fact is that if RZA had dropped that bomb, the city of Philadelphia would be burning to this day.
Right.
But because it was an African who dropped the bomb, that served to obscure that relationship that African people have with the city of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. It hides the real source of our oppression, which has been and continues to be white power. So, you know, and of course today we see neocolonialism, you know, waging even sharper attacks against the African community. Currently, there's a mayor by the name of Michael Nutter who is dropping an economic bomb and a police bomb, you know, mm-hmm. and other forms of the same bomb on the African community, where he currently uses more than $1.1 billion to attack the African community with more police and prisons. But at the same time, our community is starved. Over 40% of African people live below the poverty line. In some neighborhoods, like in North Philadelphia, more than 75% of African people live below the poverty line. And you know, these are just other examples. But these are the conditions. This is the objective reality that African people in the city of Philadelphia is confronted with.
So, you touched on so many important points and, you know, issues. And I just to take up one of them, another leader of the Uhuru movement, Irana Fifoma, grew up in Philadelphia. And I'm always struck when she talks about her childhood here, too, when she was talking about that every day going to school as a child in Grays Ferry area of South Philadelphia, she had to fight her way to school and fight her way back from school. Mm-hmm. And I've heard that from other African people here a lot, because you have the vicious kind of white nationalist attacks, you know, that of course is sponsored and endorsed and supported by the government and the state. Mm-hmm. But just the kind of terror that the African community has faced and still faces, of course, in Philadelphia. I really appreciate your analysis of that and your description of that. And, you know, like you say, Diop, the resistance of the African community has been consistent in Philadelphia. And, of course, that is why the state has had to be so brutal in response to the righteous and courageous struggle of the African working class community in Philly. And I wondered if you could say a little more about the significance of the party coming here. I know I was in Oakland, California, working under the party's leadership when the MOVE bombing happened in 1985, and I remember the party and the chairman talking about that and saying, you know, we have to send reinforcements to Philly, to the African community, you know, and did that. Yeah. I remember the Burning Spear newspaper that came out saying reinforcements are on the way, and party actually sent organizers here to, you know, to give encouragement and leadership to the African community that was under siege, by Wilson Good, as you say, and the administration that actually literally bombed out an entire African community and murdered 11 African women, men, and children.
Yeah.
You know, that was a terrible crime that happened, so it was significant, you know, deeply significant that the party came here, and I was wondering if you could say something about that.
Yeah, I agree. And the fact is that the party has assumed the responsibility of rebuilding and completing the revolutionary struggle that occurred during the 1960s. And here in Philadelphia, as you said, the party first came here in response to that vicious attack that was made against the people.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, we held an African Liberation Day here where, you know, the theme of it was, you know, reinforcements are on the way, referring to the revolutionary organization that we came in to build. And the fact is that until we have a revolutionary organization on the ground, everywhere African people are struggling, then we won't see an end to the conditions. And so NPDOM, the work we are doing here, is part of the party's strategy to consolidate organization, build a mass movement that is led by African People's Socialist Party, the African Socialist International, whose program is led through the Revolutionary National Democratic Program, and it's tied to an international strategy that is led by the ASI. So, you know, I think it is very significant that those are conditions or the circumstances under which the party first came in. And I think it's also telling of the type of organization that we are. We are a fighting party. We are not a party that simply theorizes and discusses issues and the problems on a theoretical level.
Right.
But we are about solving the problems of the revolution. And the fact is that, you know, again, revolutionary struggle is the only thing that will expose neocolonialism and defeat it.
Yes, yes. Because, in fact, I've heard the chairman talk many times about how, you know, when Wilson Good was put into power, it was from the African community, of course, you know, like thinking this was going to be some kind of solution to the kind of vicious attack that the community had faced under Rizzo and other people. And as you say, that's just a strategy that the U.S. government has, you know, taken up throughout the U.S. and has been incredibly vicious in Philadelphia, you know, from Wilson Good to John Street, you know, who was after him, and then, you know, now Nutter, as you're talking about, Michael Nutter.
Yeah.
I think just seeing the kind of leadership that the party's given to the African community here and to the whole community, it's like there was no other resistance. In fact, after the MOVE bombing, I heard many people talking about, you know, people were even afraid to demonstrate, even afraid to come out and speak up for the rights of the community. And maybe you could say more about some of the campaigns that NPDOM has led in Philadelphia that's really pushed back the state attacks on the African community, because I know it's been relentless for, you know, since that whole period when the party came here.
Yeah. So NPDOM, you know, was founded in 1991 in Chicago, Illinois, and has led struggles throughout the U.S., North America, to defend the democratic rights of African people. And that has certainly been done right here in Philadelphia, especially around the question of police violence, the police containment of the African community, where NPDOM has held, you know, numbers of demonstrations and rallies exposing police attacks on the African community dating back to the early mid-90s, led struggles to actually have the police indicted and convicted of murder of African people.
Right.
You know, one of the more notable cases in that issue is the question around Dante Dawson, who was murdered by the Philadelphia police, where NPDOM waged a serious struggle to have the cops who murdered him be put on trial for murder of an African. And in fact, that struggle pushed even sectors of the African middle class to take a similar stance. And, you know, but NPDOM has been the vanguard organization in this democratic question in terms of pushing the state back and preventing the state from really, you know, impeding on the lives of our people and the affairs of our people. And you know, here right now in Philly, we rest on the shoulders of more than a decade of struggle that has been led by MP Don right here in Philly, where we are now poised to really take that struggle to a whole nother level in terms of our call for African people to lock up the real criminals of City Hall, to expose neocolonialism in the form of Michael Nutter, Charles Ramsey, and now this new guy, Seth Williams, who has just been elected as the DA,
right,
who we really have to do a lot of work to expose as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is the party's era. This is the period during which the African working class will organize ourselves in our own interests and expose this whole criminal enterprise in the form of the City Hall right here. One thing I do want to say also is that the work that we're doing here in Philly currently has served as a strong model for how we MP Dom struggles in other cities, where in the past several months we have done everything from hold candlelight vigils in memory of Africans who have been murdered by police, but also as a means of calling African people to join organization and resist so that the slogan, not one more black life, will be real. We have held a tribunal or a court to put the city of Philadelphia on trial for the genocide being committed against the African community. You know, and we are now moving into our international convention. MP Dom's international convention will be held right here in Philadelphia with the theme of they say cut back, we say payback, reparations now, independence in our lifetime, which we believe is a timely theme because it is addressing the current economic war that the white ruling class is making on African people in Philly and around the country, trying to save its
right.
own, you know, as, you know, it's resolve its own crisis at the expense of the poor and oppressed African community. And so this budget cut question has been a serious one that MP Dom has been intervening in here in Philly, and the convention will be a rallying point at which our forces from throughout the U.S. and Canada come to develop one strategy to unite around the Revolutionary National Democratic Program and go back to our respective local areas to carry the program out. So, you know, and it's going down right here in Philly.
Philly's on the forefront of the struggle.
Yeah.
And I just really appreciate the leadership that you have brought to Philly and to, you know, to the movement here. It's incredible, you know, to be working under your leadership and to see the impact that NPDEM has had, especially in the past year, as you are saying, you know, with relentless struggle, just like out in the face of the mayor. I know you personally have led NPDEM in confronting Mayor Nutter, you know, with the attacks on the African community, the budget cuts that are, you know, pushing African communities into deeper and deeper poverty in Philly while, you know, the condominiums are being built still, life is being led by the white population, that, you know, just as if nothing is happening, but the oppression of the African community is intensifying every day. So, could you say more about that, Diop? Because I think some people have heard about the City Hall 2 campaign. You know, the City Hall 2 being yourself, Diop Olugbala, the international organizer of the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement, and the leader of the Uhuru Movement here in Philly, and Shabaka Nambatha, a member of NPDAM, who were, you know, viciously attacked just for holding up signs, peacefully protesting in City Hall here in Philadelphia, this March, and in a budget hearing, which was an open public hearing, and just the most obvious case of the, you know, violation of the democratic rights of the African community right there, just for speaking out. And you were targeted for that because there were so many other groups there, so many other individuals there, the unions, the police unions, all kinds of people were protesting the budget, but it was the Uhuru Movement leaders, you know, yourself and Shabaka there, that were attacked, and that was very significant.
Definitely. On March 19th, as you said, we were attacked by the police and arrested, charged with felonies. For simply holding up signs demanding an end to the war that Mayor Nutter and the city of Philadelphia is making against the African community.
Right.
And like you said, it is telling because there were, you know, various forces out there that day, most of whom have, you know, been involved in struggle around this budget cut question for some time. But NPDOM was targeted. And we know, we don't just believe, but we know that that is because NPDOM has had the ability to cut through all of these, you know, secondary issues and get, you know, to the heart of the question, which is the, you know, what makes Philadelphia's economy run.
Right.
And it is the police containment of the African community. It's prisons. It's this exploitation that we experience in the form of the subprime mortgage, the gentrification going on, the exploitation our people experience and working for the city and jobs throughout, you know, this is the real economic stimulus for Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And when the African working class begins to speak in our own interests and expose the real basis of the city's economy, which is one that, you know, steals everything from African people, that's when the state reveals itself and its real role in this city, which is to protect that parasitic relationship at all costs. And we saw clearly that the state was willing to disregard its own laws to silence the African working class. Mm-hmm. And but it's good because it serves to expose that. It serves, but not just that, but the resistance that NPDOM has been carrying out even before that particular city council meeting has served to embolden the masses of African people in the city of Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And we have shown literally that you can fight City Hall and you can win.
Right.
And so we are now involved in a serious political struggle with the city of Philadelphia, both on the legal front as well as the political front, to not just protect or defend myself and Shabaka, but to defend the right of the African community to resist, to defend the democratic right of the African community to control our own resources, to control all the institutions in our own community. And we are leading a serious struggle right now to unite broad sectors of the African community under the leadership of the African working class through this program that we're speaking of. So it's a real significant campaign that we're involved in. We call on people to support the struggle to defend the City Hall too, to join a defense committee or to build one if you are, you know, not in Philadelphia. You can certainly build a defense committee. But we believe that this is a campaign, a case that must be heard about and must be organized around. So, yeah.
Good. Yeah. And maybe you could say what the update of that campaign of that case is, because I know a lot of people who are following Uhuru Radio also have followed that campaign on Uhuru News and saw that the movement won a real victory in, you know, pushing back the attacks by the city on the City Hall to just even legally, but through political organizing, obviously, and struggle, got some of the most serious charges against you dropped.
Yeah.
And now the city, I believe, is attempting to reinstate those charges.
Right,
the DA attempting to reinstate,
you
know, the most important felony charges.
Yeah. So when we came out of, you know, initially we were charged, both myself and Shabaka were charged with a felony of aggravated assault and various misdemeanors, including simple assault, recklessly endangering another person, resisting arrest, so on and so forth. And, you know, there's a video that documents the entire, you know, occurrence, and that shows clearly that we were attacked without any provocation.
Yes.
We didn't break any law. We was exercising our democratic right to free speech when the police attacked myself and Shabaka. And this was all proven during our preliminary hearing, where the decision would be made by the judge, Teresa Cardenai, as to whether or not the charges or whether there's enough evidence for the case to even go to trial. She determined that there was enough evidence for it to go to trial, but that the felonies certainly shouldn't be part of the trial. And she threw the felonies out. And this was due primarily, as you said, to the political struggle that NPDOM has been making from the ground, calling campaign, organizing demonstration, showing up in the courtroom as an organized body. And, of course, on the legal front, we have one of the best lawyers in the city of Philadelphia who understands the political dynamics of cases like this. And because of that understanding, was able to raise up these political questions during the hearing itself. I'm talking about Michael Cord. And during our hearing, Michael represented myself and Shabaka, and during the cross-examination or during the questioning of the police, had them contradicting each other, had them even admit to violating our democratic rights to, you know, even hold the signs up. So it was a brilliant, you know, show of, you know, legal strategy on the part of Michael Cord. And because of that compelling argument that really he forced the police to make on for us, the judge threw out the felonies. But now we're in a place where the district attorney, which is currently led by Lynn Abraham, who we know, you know, has a mission of locking as many Africans up as possible. The DA's office has filed for what is called a reconsideration hearing, which is a process during which the DA can essentially appeal the decision from the preliminary hearing, saying that they believe that, you know, the judge made an error when she threw out the felonies. And so the hearing for the reconsideration was to be held on June 16th. And when we first heard about this appeal, we knew already, you know, first time we heard of it, that it was, you know, a political assault. And it was clear that the DA, that the state was determined to lock us up, you know, and to take us off the streets. And eventually we learned that this attack was actually being targeted on me. Shabaka was actually not, the DA did not attempt to reimpose the felonies on him, but simply myself, probably because, of course, because I'm the leadership here. And so, but we understood all of that coming into the hearing on the 16th. And because of that, we were prepared. As you know, we held a mass demonstration in front of the Criminal Justice Center that morning before the hearing. We had forces from throughout the world call in to the judge, Frank Palumbo's office, demanding that this mock, you know, mock hearing come to an end, and that all charges against Diop and Shabaka be dropped. And all that political struggle paid off. So during the hearing itself, actually didn't happen, because Palumbo was shook, you know. And in fact, when he saw a room full of African people wearing T-shirts saying jail the killer cops, and when we stood up, you know, as a united body, you know, clear that we're not about to have this, you know, business as usual, you know, that shook him up. Before the hearing even began, he called for a conference with the my lawyer and the DA, asking what the hell is going on here, you know. And, you know, he was supposed to be that guy. You know, Palumbo was like, you know, a pig in a row, basically. And he has a track record of letting cops who beat Africans, murder Africans off the hook. And so, you know, the state was confident that he would be able to, you know, carry this lynching with relative ease. But Palumbo turned out to be a wimp, and we exposed that. And he was forced to reschedule the hearing so that the state could regroup and get a better strategy together. But that's fine, because it gives us even more time to expose this attack and come back with even more people. So this is a great struggle. It's exposing a lot. And there's no doubt in my mind that we will emerge from this struggle victorious, you know, and that at our international convention, we'll be able to claim a total victory, and African people in the city of Philly and around the world will be even more confident in our ability not only to beat City Hall, but to beat U.S. imperialism.
Uhuru.
Yes. Uhuru. You are listening to Solidarity Not Charity on uhururadio.com, and this is an interview conducted by Allison Haney of the African People's Solidarity Committee here in Philadelphia with Diop Olugbala, the international organizer for the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement and leadership of the Uhuru Movement here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Just some brief announcements. If you're at all interested in what you're hearing about the City Hall 2 campaign and the general campaigns of the Uhuru movement here in Philadelphia or anywhere, we are calling on people to support these campaigns. Certainly get online and find out more about the City Hall 2 campaign and how you can make a donation or form a City Hall 2 defense committee in your area at inpdum.org. That's inpdum.org. If you want to get involved in the Uhuru Solidarity Movement, the organization that works under the leadership of the African-led Uhuru movement, organizing white people and other allies to support justice and democratic rights for the black community, we are having a week-long Uhuru Solidarity Political Study and Action Week here in Philadelphia from Monday, July 13th through Saturday, July 18th. All the events are going to be held at the Uhuru Solidarity Center, which is at 3733 Lancaster Avenue in West Philadelphia. And the range of the events will be from a true African history tour of Philadelphia to learning the revolutionary political theory of the Uhuru movement, African internationalism, a study with Chairwoman Penny Hess, who leads the Uhuru Solidarity Movement and the African People's Solidarity Committee internationally, a study on the state with Chairwoman Penny Hess, and an event with Diop Olugbala on Wednesday, July 15th, held at 7:30 p.m. at the Uhuru Solidarity Center on the U.S. economic crisis and its impact on Philadelphia, where we'll be addressing our campaign to stop Philly's billion-dollar war on the African community with Diop Olugbala and talking about the City Hall 2 campaign. An event on Thursday, July 16th, at 7:30 p.m. called Resist AFRICOM and NORTHCOM, which is really getting to the heart of what the U.S.'s and Europe's Africa plan is, using the U.S. military to attempt to continue to push back African resistance and further extract the resources of Africa and African people, featuring Chioma Oru, chair of the North American region of the African Socialist International. And on Friday, July 17th at 6:30 p.m., also at the Uhuru Solidarity Center, a potluck and event where we're encouraging people to come meet and greet with members of the Uhuru Solidarity Movement and participate in an event called Environmental Justice Through African Liberation. And then we'll be doing a benefit lunch at the Mila Vegetarian Restaurant on Saturday, July 18th at 12 noon, starting at 12 noon, where if you go buy lunch at Mila Vegetarian Restaurant in Center City, you will be contributing to the African Village Survival Initiative programs. And of course, more information will be available on the website for the Uhuru Solidarity Movement, uhurusolidarity.org or apscuhuru.org. And you can also call us for more information in Philadelphia at 215-387-0919. Also happening around the country, you can get involved in the San Francisco Pride Festival food booth being run by Uhuru Foods on June 27th and June 28th in San Francisco, California, from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. They're still looking for volunteers. Be part of a great team. And you can get in touch with Uhuru Foods in Oakland by calling 510-851-4492 or 510-759-8154. Or emailing Oakland at uhurufoods.org. One more thing, if you are in the Boston, Massachusetts area, or the New England area in general, and you can get to Boston, Massachusetts, there will be an event as a benefit for the African Village Survival Initiative, where we're encouraging people to come find out how you can get involved with the African Village Survival Initiative programs and support them from up in Boston and hold fundraising events and support work to help get the kitchen and studio in the Uhuru House and the sustainable collective farming programs of the African Village Survival Initiative, get them going and support them and really take a stand in solidarity with African self-determination. That's going to be held on Sunday, June 28th at 2 o'clock p.m. at the Democracy Center at 45 Mount Auburn Street in Harvard Square. For more information, you can call 857-233-7508 or email philly@uhurusolidarity.org. And again, you can find these events at apscuhuru.org or uhurusolidarity.org or search for Uhuru Solidarity on Facebook. Now we're going to get back to the interview here on uhururadio.com with Diop Olugbala, the international organizer for the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement, speaking with Allison Haney, the chair of the Philadelphia unit of the African People's Solidarity Committee. And this is part two of the interview on Solidarity Not Charity on uhururadio.com. Uhuru.
I know I was fortunate enough to be in that hearing, and I must say, you know, I've never heard a summation like your attorney Michael Cord gave afterwards, where he took us in the hallway and said, "Okay, you scared the shit out of the judge." The movement, the power of the Uhuru movement, is really showed, you know, what it can do, and that was so inspiring to everybody. Yeah. I mean, it's such an incredible experience just to be in the Criminal Justice Center in any single courtroom.
Yeah.
It's so telling what you're saying about that the whole economy of Philadelphia is, is based on locking up young African people, period, because any single courtroom, like, just waiting for your hearing the other day, where Frank Palumbo, the judge, or any of the judges in any of those hundreds of courtrooms in that building are doing exactly the same thing every single day.
Yeah.
You know, just shuffling through African after African after African into the prison system. Yeah. And, yeah, it's really significant that NPDEM is exposing that, is showing that that is the basis of the whole economy in Philadelphia. Nobody else is even talking about that, really.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's proven. I mean, it's just statistically even shown, that they can't possibly deny that. You know, the prison system in Pennsylvania has grown like 500% over the past 20 years. Yeah. That's the economy.
Right.
And that's even what they say themselves. You know, the Pennsylvania Parole Board, the prison system says, prisons are economic development, for rural Pennsylvania and, that's it. And that's why, of course, the movement's being targeted, because it gets to the heart of it.
Right.
It's organizing African people to take back, the communities and resources. And, it's really a significant campaign. We were just, Harris and myself, as members of the African People's Solidarity Committee, were just at a festival today in Philadelphia, in an area called Northern Liberties, which is just the most extreme example, one of them, of a gentrified area of Philadelphia where all these hip young white people are moving in. They're building condos like crazy. They have whole big piazzas and plazas given over to where there's a stage where they can have parties at night, and yet we see the conditions of the African community that you were talking about, where there's like 75% poverty and no school books. The African children are in prison in schools.
Right.
And so everything that NPDEM is fighting for and standing up for is the reality of the African community.
Yeah.
And it's deeply, important that is happening.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you would like to call for people to do to help to support the City Hall 2, to support the democratic rights of the African community?
Well, yeah,
in Philadelphia?
Definitely. In terms of the City Hall 2, again, you can join the Defense Committee for the City Hall 2. Go to our website of npdum.org. That's npdum.org.
Mm-hmm.
And it's welcome for anybody to join. We are looking for contributions, financial contributions, for our legal defense fund, because we do have to, raise resources for our lawyer and all the legal fees. So you can make a donation by going to that same website address. But more than anything, we're calling on African people and white people alike to join the Uhuru movement, to find your place in the struggle to liberate Africa and African people around the world. And NPDEM is involved in a lot of great work, and we have a lot of appreciation for the work that is being done by the Uhuru Solidarity Movement here in Philadelphia as well, providing a lot of tactical support for the work that we do, and also, exposing this opportunist white left that attempts to, intervene in a lot of the questions that we're struggling around right now.
Yeah.
As you know, a lot of the struggle, even with the City Hall 2, emerged out of this whole budget cut question, which is a real, central question to this, you know, the political economy that we're talking about, built on the exploitation and oppression of African people. Mm-hmm. And right now, Mayor Nutter is claiming that the city of Philadelphia is in something like a $2 billion budget deficit. And as a means of, you know, solving that problem, he originally was proposing, you know, budget cuts on the central services that would and should be going to, you know, African people, you know, and oppressed people in the city. The thing that we have to, you know, we're struggling for people to understand in part is that, you know, that crisis that he's speaking of is the crisis of imperialism. It's the crisis of a social system that was built on the enslavement of African people. And the fact is that it wouldn't even be a budget for the city of Philadelphia or U.S. imperialism if it wasn't for slavery, if it wasn't for the prisons that we're talking about, if it wasn't for the subprime mortgage and the gentrification going on in North Philly. That's what creates the basis for there to be a budget in the first place. And so for African people, our concern is not how are we going to participate in helping Nutter and imperialism, you know, solve its budget deficit. Our interest is in how we're going to resolve our budget deficit, which was slavery, which is the prisons. You know, these are the budget cuts that African people have experienced. Mm-hmm. And so the demand that we raise up is reparations to African people for 400 years of colonial oppression and exploitation, you know, at the hands of the city of Philadelphia and U.S. imperialism as a whole. And, you know, this has not always been the most popular stance, particularly in, you know, in circles of the white community who have an interest, you know, a seen interest in saving, you know, the city's budget and saving jobs that are funded by the city's budget. Right. But we're saying that as African people, as conscious African workers, we're not going to just unite with you to save a budget that is literally built on, you know, attacking our community.
Right.
We're not going to march alongside, you know, anybody who is simply trying to save their job in a colonial education system that, you know, attacks and criminalizes African children. We're not going to march with the same firefighters who literally let Osage Avenue burned to a cinder.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to march alongside, you know, DHS workers who work for a foster care system that, you know, is built to, you know, destroy the black family.
Yeah.
We're saying that the demand has to go a step further and call for African community control over all these institutions that affect the lives of African people. So, you know, we say, you know, reparations. You know, community control over these resources, but community control over the police, the schools, the foster care system, etc. This must be under the control of the African community. So, and this, you know, analysis is informed by the Revolutionary National Democratic Program of the ASI, of the African Socialist International.
Mm-hmm.
And it is an analysis that we struggle with white people as well to unite with and, you know, to take, you know, the correct stand on this whole question. Because, you know, even if you can't have that, you know, much foresight to see that this is a burning, you know, a house that's literally burning down, you have to understand that all of the social contradictions in the city of Philadelphia and in this country are based, you know, on this exploitation and oppression of African people and oppress people around the world. You can't possibly expect to have a good night's sleep while you're sleeping on, you know, the wealth, you know, that has been stolen from oppressed people around the world. And the same thing goes for, you know, white people in Philadelphia. You know, if you want to see any type of peace and, you know, safety, then you have to unite with a struggle to return the resources that have been stolen from our starving community. So in our view, this is the way forward for real economic and social justice, you know?
Well, that's right. That's the question. And that is the question for North American people, obviously, because, you know, like you say, there's like, there's two whole realities in Philadelphia. Well, how is that going to come together? I mean, what is the future, you know, and in the U.S., not just in Philadelphia, but, and in the world, it's like, as white people, North Americans and Europeans, how can we, you know, expect to continue to live on the stolen resources and lives of African people and live in peace? It's not going to happen. And And it doesn't happen. It's like that's what they call violence. That's what they call, you know, the unrest or, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, people over in Northern Liberties won't even come over to West Philly because they think it's some kind of, you know, because there's Africans here. They think it's dangerous or whatever. You know, it's like this is the criminalization of the African community that the whole white population, you know, goes along with to keep sitting on those resources and keep the lifestyle going. But, you know, as you were saying, Diop, I really appreciate your analysis because it was like, you know, as the party says, the U.S. economy is in crisis because it's a parasitic economy that was built and is only sustained every day off of, you know, stealing Africa and Africa's resources and the resources of the people of the world. And, you know, even as we're talking, they're talking about Iran and these big demonstrations in Iran.
Yeah,
the U.S.
Yeah.
is trying to control every single resource in the world, you know, and they're all upset because people in Iran are being attacked. Or whatever, you know, for demonstrating, and here they arrest you in City Hall in Philadelphia, you know.
Yeah.
It's no democracy in the U.S.
Uh-huh,
there's no democratic rights for African people.
Yeah.
It's a colony, a colonial relationship, and there's not going to be a solution. I unite with that until, you know, African people control everything that is yours, you know, all the communities, everything in the community, all the resources, the lives.
Yeah.
And stop this kind of policy. You know, that's why it's so important for white people to take a stand against the policy of police containment, because that is the policy that allows the state to carry out its war, you know, on the African community. And it's a popularly endorsed policy.
Yeah.
People vote for it.
Right.
You know,
right.
they actually come out and say, yeah, I want our politicians to lock African people up more, to get the three strikes here out, to...
Yeah.
You know, send the police into West Philly and North Philly, and you know, I mean, but it's so exposed too with the, you know, situation right now with the, you know, some of the police narcotic squads being exposed again and again. It always happens, but you know, I really appreciate your analysis on that.
I'm glad you raised that. You know, especially this whole, you know, these goons, these pigs running around, you know, sticking up, robbing, you know.
Yeah.
Store owners and Africans in the street, as you know.
Yeah.
And the thing is that, you know, the City Hall too, like what you saw on YouTube, this is what happens to African people in the streets of Philly and LA and Brooklyn all the time.
Every day.
Our democratic rights are violated every all the time, you know.
Right.
And it just so happened that we had it caught on video and that it was,
right.
you know, it was polarized because we had, you know, billboards, and you know, he was making a clear political statement, so it exposed the real political nature of it. But the reality is that the police, you know, run up on young Africans all the time in the streets, throw us up against the wall, steal money, you know, beat us up, you know, commit all types of acts of atrocity against African people all the time. And most of the time, it ain't no video camera, or if it is, it's in the police car, and you know, it was broken or whatever. But this is the type, this is the, you know, like you said, the police containment, and it's a dictatorship, you know, they rule without regard for any law, and, you know, white people can't see it, because, you know, white people have a different relationship to the state, but African people, it ain't nothing new, you know, and that's something that, you know, we hope to expose even further through, you know, struggles like the City Hall 2 and others that Impede Arm raises up, that this is the relationship that African people have with the state, you know, period. And it's one that needs to end. And, you know, the fact is that if the white ruling class, if anybody has to send the police after us to silence us, you know, to, you know, prevent us from voicing our views, and that says something about you know, the philosophy that they have, you know, I mean, is your argument, is your, you know, view so weak, is your argument and justification for this economy so shaky that you have to send the police after a group of Africans holding up signs, you know, it says something about the poverty of your own philosophy, and
they can't defend it.
Yeah, they can't. They can't defend it, you know, and so they send the police after us, you know, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And, I mean, just the police, just to say, in Philadelphia, the police, the kind of, I mean, the scandals, the what they call a scandal here is just, like you say, the normal behavior of the police as it's carrying out colonial terror every day in the African community. But I do think it's significant because, you know, it just shows, it's something that the Uhuru Solidarity Movement here has to do a lot more work around, because just to show what you're saying, that there's a completely different reality of how the police act in the African community. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the white community, we still behave as if the police are our friends and they're just helping us, you know, do whatever, protect our property or whatever. You know, that's the role that they play. But, I mean, just some of the behavior of the police that is being exposed right now, there's an investigation, a federal investigation into these narcotic squads that are just falsifying arrests, warrants, are sexually abusing women who, you know, they go into one room and arrest the husband and then take the African, you know, Puerto Rican woman in the other room and molest them. I mean, it's the most vicious and vile, you know, type of thuggish behavior, and it has to get exposed, you know, as in the context of what you're saying.
Definitely.
This is colonial terror, and African people have the right to resist that. And, you know, that's what we have to support in the white community and unite with that, that we have to, they have to make the call for reparations. And I also really want to call on people to make a donation to the City Hall, too, because this is the front line of resistance, you know, of the African community in Philly. And that's, like you say, one of the examples of the struggle that is going to spark resistance and is organizing resistance all over the world. So really want to thank you so much, Diop, for that interview and for letting us know what's going on and what we can support and take out into the white population, how people can get involved. I know we're going to be, the Uhuru Solidarity Movement is going to be having an event at the Uhuru Solidarity Center in Philadelphia with Diop Olugbala, talking about the economic crisis that the U.S. is in and how that's impacting the African community here in Philly, and you know, taking a stand in solidarity with the City Hall 2 case and the right of the African community here to resist the conditions that are being faced right now. So that's going to be on Wednesday, July 15th at 7:30 p.m., and that's right at the Uhuru Solidarity Center in Philadelphia, which is at 3733 Lancaster Avenue in West Philly. So I would encourage everybody to come out and get involved in that case, get involved in that campaign. There's going to be actions and, you know, demonstrations and community work that we can do, and also go out to our community and raise the right of the African community to organize in its own right and to raise resources for that struggle. So is there anything else that you would like to say in closing?
You know, appreciate the work again being done by the African People's Solidarity Committee. This is the movement that everybody needs to be a part
That's
of,
right.
you know, and it's no longer enough to just be on the sidelines and
Right.
you know, just talk about it, you know, but we have to roll up our sleeves, get involved in the struggle, because the only solution to any crisis that we're looking at in the lives of the masses of people on this planet today is concentrated in the question of African liberation and national liberation struggles of colonized people, you know, and so, and, you know, it must be led by the colonized people ourselves, and, you know.
Yes.
We encourage everyone to join.
Uhuru, and it's so, the question of organization is so key, and the party really is the organization that shows the, or you know, that that organization for white people too is really important, that we can't just be individuals and, you know, out in our communities thinking we're doing something great, you know.